When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, Gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we're back with a new episode.
We're back, y'all. And hey, patrons, thank y'all so much for supporting us. And as any show does, eventually, we took a 2-week hiatus and...
Yeah, we dropped just for patrons for a couple of weeks.
Right. So, but we've had, meanwhile, it's funny, we take the little break and we go to number 5 again. And, you know, we're kind of going viral on Bloody Angola. And we won't take much time off, y'all, but sometimes, you know, it is what it is. So, that being said, we want to thank everybody and welcome all you new listeners to this edition of Bloody Angola. And what we told y'all, or I've told y'all in every episode of Bloody Angola, is you're always going to get something different. And today's case is really different because while it's not, the story's not directly related to Angola, I can tell you it's directly related to Angola. All right. And the case is about a guy named Casey White, who was a convict, and Vicky White, who was a correction officer. And we're going to get into it, but let me tell you this. I can tell you I've seen it. I've arrested people inside the prison for doing it. And what it boils down to is correction officers and inmates fucking.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think, Jim, that would happen, but it probably happens more than inmates doing it. You know, I think the convicts use certainly – some of the people locked up in prison are geniuses, right? And the master manipulators for whatever the crimes may have been. And then they find that weak person, male or female. We've done an episode on Bloody Angola about the lieutenant who was banging the convicts.
Oh, yeah.
But it happens male and female. And so it's a very real deal inside the prison. I told you, anytime you go behind those gates or the walls, that normal rules don't apply. and it is what it is. Y'all, I've actually seen it. I'll tell you one case that really sticks in my head. There was a politician's daughter, and she was an attractive female, who was a correction officer. Now, naturally, he got her the job, and they gave her a cush job. She was in the canteen. She worked the where they got all the snacks and shit from.
Yep.
And so she had an orderly who worked with her when we called him really working her from behind, literally. And somebody else had snitched on him. And so we set it up and wait for the opportunity and busted in. And they were butt naked. And he was balls deep. So she didn't get arrested because of who she was, but she got fired and he got swung to the working cell block.
Very nice.
But this story is super, super interesting. You know what? I told you, correction officers, some of the best people in the world, and then some of them that you work with that are worse than inmates. This story is really shows how the human psyche can roll out, because you can be the best correction officer for years, and then you sugar turns to shit. Right?
That's right. That's right. And this is a good example of it. So as Woody just told you, it's one hell of a story. And the best place to start is to, I want to give you guys and gals an idea of the background of these two subjects that we're going to talk about. And the first one is Casey White, y'all. Now, to call this guy a stone cold killer would really be putting it mildly.
Yeah.
The first thing you notice when you see Casey White is his size. He's just flat out a giant of a human being.
Like a freaking nature giant.
Freaking nature, 6'9", weighed 300.
There's not that many players in the NBA that weigh that are 6'9".
There's probably not a bunch of people on Earth right? that are 6'9" and 330 pounds. Yep. And y'all, this ain't fat. This is solid prison muscle.
Yep.
And prison muscle, as you've heard Woody talk about many times on Real Life or a Crime, is different.
Yep.
Than free people muscle.
You can see somebody. And Jim and I have been here before, and somebody came in to be a guest on the show. And I was like, oh shit, that's prison muscle.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You spot it right off. And that's what he had. And the next thing you'll notice about this guy is his tattoos. Now, he has tons of them, but this isn't your typical, barbed wire. Right. Or if you're in the Navy, you've got an anchor on your bicep or something. These are mostly white supremacist related tattoos. Yep. He was associated with the Alabama-based white supremacist prison gang, Southern Brotherhood.
Yep.
So, not a nice individual. In addition to being a freaking Jolly Green Giant.
And we need to cover this one day, and we will, on prison gangs, different ones, maybe episode on each one. But let me tell you about the Aryan-based prison gangs. They're like the military. They make you, on your yard time, you have to work out. They work out in formation. They stay to themselves, et cetera. So the prison muscle deal, if you don't work out and you're not swole, they'll beat your ass. And if you don't do what they order you to do, they'll kill you. But at 6'9", 330 pounds, I bet you he was a shot caller.
Oh, yeah. And what we're trying to do here is paint y'all a picture of how intimidating this guy is before you even know even a shred of his criminal record. Now, you may wonder, what's that look like? Well, get ready for this.
Well, in 2006, Casey White was arrested on a domestic violence charge, but Jim, it wasn't his wife. Domestic violence doesn't mean it's your spouse. In this case, he was arrested for beating his mama's ass.
Oh, God.
His own mother. And 4 years later, in 2010, he pled guilty to attacking his brother, another domestic violence, right, with an axe handle, and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. And y'all, in December 2015, Mr. White went on another crime spree where he tracked down and tried to kill his ex-girlfriend. The rampage spanned both Alabama and Tennessee as he held victims at gunpoint, shot one woman in the arm, killed a dog, and carried out a home invasion and staged multiple carjackings before he was finally captured in a dramatic police chase.
Mm.
And now, this spree unfolded on the morning of December 1st, 2015, when he broke into a home and stole two guns. Later that night, he turned up at his girlfriend's house armed with the stolen guns and opened fire on her and two men inside the home.
Didn't even hesitate.
He had it on his mind. After that, White then broke into another home and stole a man's car and another gun. Okay. And around an hour later, he shot another woman in the arm in an attempted carjacking in Tennessee before carjacking another person at gunpoint.
And this is all the same freaking weekend.
Yeah, he's just rolling. I mean, he's just straight up thug life, right? So, but White was finally captured in a dramatic 100-mile-an-hour police chase that ended in a standoff back over the border in Alabama. But now he's in a standoff. And during the standoff, he demanded to speak to the sheriff and threatened to shoot himself in the head. He asked for a pack of Marlboro cigarettes and a sun-drop soda before he surrendered, right?
I mean, gotta have them Marlboros.
Gotta give me them Reds, right? Gotta get crazy. That voice right. Well, I mean, he knew he was going back to prison.
Yeah. Right?
In 2019, White was convicted on multiple charges over the rampage, including attempted murder of his ex-girlfriend. And he got 75 years in prison.
So that's what kind of guy we're dealing with here.
Yeah, real winner.
Well, you know, I guess you could say walks the walk and talks the talk
when you tat yourself up with swastikas and shit, you're pretty much not going to get a job as an accountant, right? I mean, you're in for the thug life. He's proven it, and he has total disregard for the law and anything going on with it.
Yeah, so he's right where he belongs, and while serving this 75...
He's the reason they build Bloody Angolas.
Yeah, that's right. And so while serving this sentence of 75 years, he's also awaiting a trial for the 2015 stabbing and murder of a 58-year-old mother of two named Connie Ridgeway. Now, shortly after he got locked up for that 75-year stint, he provided a confession for that particular murder. Now, she was found stabbed to death in her apartment. This was in Rogersville, Alabama, on the 23rd of October of 2015. The case went unsolved for 5 years until White sent a letter to the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Office confessing to the crime. During a subsequent interview with authorities, he allegedly gave details about the crime that had not been made public, and which only the killer, y'all, would have known. Now, prosecutors say he was paid to carry out that hit. So,
gotta make a living.
Gotta make a living. And look, he's only, you know, his whole life, that's how he generated money, I'm sure. So in 2020, he was charged with two counts of capital murder. Now, after confessing to the murder in which he initially pled guilty, he changes his plea to not guilty by reason of mental illness.
Yeah. See how that works out for him.
Yeah, and primarily because they were going for the death penalty if he was convicted in that case. So there's no way at that point he's going to plead just straight up guilty. Yeah. Now, if that's not enough to paint a picture of how evil this guy is, there's also the mysterious disappearance and death of his 2008 girlfriend. Casey White's then girlfriend, back in 2008, Christy Shelton, was shot in the chest by a sawed-off shotgun inside an Alabama home belonging to White's mother.
That's the same mother he beat the shit out of.
Same one he beat the shit out of. And Miss Shelton, who was 31 at the time, died at the scene. Now, White was in the home with her at the time of the shooting, but somehow Woody was ruled out as a suspect.
Nah, I don't get that.
You know, not with his history, right?
Right.
Back then, officials ruled the 31-year-old deaths as a suicide, and the case was closed. So he probably made it look like a suicide somehow. Miss Shelton's family, of course, always doubted that version of events, and it was never solved. So that is the crimes Casey White was convicted of and the ones he still faced justice for in 2022 when the incident we're about to tell you about took place.
Yeah, and it's just a long, long storied history of being a piece of shit.
His whole life.
A hardcore piece of shit.
Started out beating his mother and his brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, right? But again, that's why we build prisons for murders and pieces of shit like this. But let me tell you about the other side of the story, okay? And that is about Miss Vicky White. Now, listen, they have the same last name, y'all, her and Casey White, but they're not related at all, okay? They weren't married, not blood related, nothing. It's just chances. I guess White's a pretty common name. But Vicky White was a total opposite of Casey. At 56 years old, Vicky White was almost getting ready to retire from her career as a corrections officer. Rick Singleton, the sheriff in Lauderdale County, Alabama, was quoted as saying she was a model employee. And all of her co-workers, all the employees in the sheriff's office, the judges, and all had the utmost respect for her. Now, Vicky White was a widow with no children and never had so much as a speeding ticket in her entire life. She was clean as a whistle, right? And she was 5 feet five and weighed 145 pounds. Now, we told you about him, 6 foot nine, 330. But Vicky, in 1997, she joined the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Office, and she went on to become the office's assistant director of corrections. So that's, you know, that's saying something, there. Especially for a female, right? I mean, that's a big deal. In 2002, she and Tommy White got married. Now, that's not Casey White, y'all. That's her husband. They got married, and she was six years younger than him. And they raised cattle on a farm, and she later left him when his drug problems got out of hand in 2006, and she divorced him, okay? But she was so respected and well-liked, in fact, that between 2015 and 2022, her peers voted her as supervisor or employee of the year four times.
Wow.
I mean, she was just jam up. After her divorce and her husband, Tommy, she remained friendly with him. And in January 2022, he died from complications related to Parkinson's disease.
Mm.
So, I mean, she's getting ready to retire. She's 56 years old. She's put in almost her 30 years. She's risen as high as she can get in corrections, minus Sam's a warden, I guess. Then she's liked by everybody.
Yeah, and just a stand-up citizen in all
aspects.
Total opposite of what the other guy, right? So now I know you're wondering, you're probably saying to yourself, what happened and how the hell did these two completely different individuals just get intertwined? Well, in 2020, while serving out his sentence at the William E. Donaldson Correctional Facility, which is in Jefferson County, Alabama, Casey White came into contact with Vicky White. And let me tell you how they came into contact. So he was at a state prison, but they would transfer him to her jail whenever he would have court appearances.
Right.
He would go, he'd go to get transferred to the jail. He'd see Miss White, and he wanted to get him a little something, probably wink at her or whatever. And look, this is a big dude now. And he ain't blended in nowhere.
Yeah, and I'm sure he started out, he floated her a little wink or something, and she didn't reject it. So that opens up his can of worms. Like, every time I'm going down, I'm going to try to lay a little smack down on this girl.
That's right. So,
and even be honest with you, I'm totally confident in my sexuality. I can say this, but I think you look at a 6 foot nine guy that's 330 pounds, and you gotta think everything was big on that. I mean, he probably got 14. He had
an anaconda in his pants.
He had a 14-inch anaconda, but he didn't fold it in half for anybody, right?
Indeed. So, and I'm sure she was thinking the same thing at the time.
She's 56. She'd be gone with her husband for a while. I mean,
that
stale cracker.
So they would see each other, and speculation now is that the flirting started, and she started calling him. She would call him at his state prison, and they just shoot the breeze. And look, became a 2-year thing.
Yeah, but once I submit to you on that first phone call, it's gonna be a shitty end.
Yeah, what are you wearing? That was what that question was on that first phone call.
Yeah. What are you
wearing? Is it red panty night?
Yeah, right.
Oh my God. Something that may crazy.
Have been the second phone call.
Yeah, it might have been the second.
I mean, but the very fact that he got her to cross that line of calling me, Now, I'm sure, you know, they say, this is a collect call from an inmate at correctional center. Mm-hmm. She had to take the charge.
That's right. So they start this kind of phone thing and visiting thing, and it becomes a two-year ordeal. As a matter of fact, during the next 2 years, you know, they formed a relationship, and other inmates, and look, inmates talk. Oh, yeah. And inmates, after the fact, after all the dust settled and this case became obvious, they came forward and said, you know, he would get extra food and special privileges from Casey White every time he was at that jail. And they were pissed, you know, and but they're not going to rat out the 6'9", 330-pound beast for sure. Now, in the months and weeks leading up to what will become his escape from prison, aided by Vicky White, and of course, unbeknownst to officials, Vicky was preparing.
Right.
Vicky announced plans to retire on April 29th, 2022, which incidentally, y'all, was the same day of the escape.
Yep.
She sold her home on April 18th of 2022 for $95,550. Now, that's important because it was well below the market value of $235,000.
Yes. She wanted that quick money.
She wanted that quick money.
She had a plan.
Yeah. First person that looked at it, what if I charge you $95,000? Right, they were like, okay.
Yeah.
And she ended up selling it for a third of its value. She then moved in with her mother, Pat Davis, for about 5 weeks after selling that home, and she started taking money out of the bank. She had a number of different banks. She was taking cash out of everywhere, so she was preparing, and she even went shopping for men's clothing at a local department store, Woody Everton. Then she goes to the adult store.
Yeah, but the men's clothing, I mean, she had to look in the big and tall section.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You had to get some special...
Yeah,
special stuff there. But she goes to the adult store even and buys lingerie and sex toys.
We had to put on the kinky music, right?
Yeah, and this is all going on the weeks before the actual escape. And she even purchased, which would become an important point, a 2007 Ford Edge that was orange under a false name.
Right. So now we set it up for you, right? You know who... He is what he's about, you know, the two faces that she put on, the professional face, and then now she's got the anaconda face, and she's lining it all. And he's telling her to do all this. But, you know, I think $95,000, we can get by, have some good times on that. But on April 28, 2022, Vicky White stayed at a Quality Inn Hotel in Florence, Alabama. It was this day that she positioned the orange Ford Edge at a parking lot about 10 minutes from the detention center. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the day of the escape at 9:30 a.m., Vicky White told another deputy that she planned to take Casey White to a mental health evaluation in court and then would seek medical attention because she wasn't feeling well. And while the jail policy states that inmates are always accompanied by two deputies because she's who she was, Vicky White, and everyone loved and trusted her, no one even second-guessed her decision.
Mm.
That's really using your power and your authority and your reputation. So Vicky White then took Casey White, who's wearing an orange jumpsuit and shackles, and put him in a patrol car, and she drove away. As they left the prison, Florence City Council member Bill Griffin was outside shooting a commercial for his council district, and he saw Vicky drive past him with Casey White in the back seat. Well, not unusual, right? Griffin knew White and waved at her, and she waved back to him twice before driving off.
Yep.
Right? Just a day at the office. So she drove the patrol car from the detention center to a nearby shopping center parking lot and left the vehicle there. They then got into the orange Ford Edge that had been left there the night earlier and drove away. The patrol car was found abandoned in the parking lot around 11 a.m. by someone on a lunch break.
Mm.
So imagine that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, when we say patrol cars, even every jail or prison, especially sheriff's offices, they have jail units. It looks just like a patrol car, like a uniformed deputy patrolling in, but they have jail units that they can transport one inmate at a time or go do whatever jail functions they need to do. So that's what she did in this case. Officers at the jail became concerned and tried to call her, right? But her phone kept going straight to voicemail. Then they realized that Casey White had not been returned to the jail. The Ford Edge was found locked and abandoned in the middle of the road in Williamson County, Tennessee, about a two-hour drive north of Lauderdale County. Unaware of its origin, a tow truck driver, Robert Keams, transported the vehicle to a local tow lot. At about 3:30 p.m., officials realized Vicky and Casey White were missing. Now, y'all remember when she bought the Ford Edge, she did it under an assumed name, so they couldn't. It's not tied to her. Once they realized that Vicky and Casey were missing, the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Office put out an alert on their Facebook page just before 6 o'clock in the evening.
Wow. And, you know, you can imagine the panic, y'all. This guy was a stone-cold killer. He just escaped your jail. And, I mean, he is the worst of the worst. So, you know, there's probably going to be violence at some point. Now, in addition, you're assuming Vicky is a victim.
Right.
Nobody is thinking at this time Vicky helped this guy escape.
Right.
They're all thinking he must have overpowered her or got out of his handcuffs or something. Right. So you call the cavalry, right? And that's just what they did. On May 1st, the U.S. Marshals offer up to a $10,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Casey White. And Vicky White was described as missing and endangered.
And so in case you don't know, anytime there's an escaped inmate or convict, the U.S. Marshals, they have a specialized division just in tracking down escapees. So everybody else would have been looking for him, also the sheriff's office and all the state police and everywhere. But when you call in the U.S. Marshals, this division, that's all they do is eat escapees.
Yeah, so they start, as Woody said, they start investigating, and they figured out pretty fast. As a matter of fact, by the next day, they figure out that Vicky White was somehow involved in aiding him in this escape. So on May 2nd, a warrant is issued for Vicky White, charging her with permitting and facilitating escape in the first degree. So something happened.
Well, I'm sure they figured out that he actually didn't have doctor's appointments. She made all that shit up.
Absolutely. And some other things. She and Casey White were caught on camera as well, which in reality,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Look, that was going to happen sooner or later. People don't realize it, but all of us are on camera. Exactly. An average, y'all, you, whoever's listening right now, all of you, you're on average on camera an average of 70 times per day, whether that's it's going crazy. In and out of stores, pumping gas, sitting at red lights,
that's whatever. That's without considering the Chinese spy balloons.
Yeah, that's right. The particular video of the two that kind of tied it in for them shows Vicky White driving the patrol car straight from the detention center to the parking lot where it was found. She made no stops in between, and that was an indication to police that there was some planning involved.
Right.
So on May 3rd, the Marshal Service releases images of the orange Ford Edge that the fugitives were last seen driving. What they picked up in the parking lot. So they left the patrol car, they got in the orange Ford Edge. And the marshals added a $5,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Vicky White. So it's up to $15,000 now. Yeah. The subject should be considered armed and dangerous and may be armed with an AR-15 rifle or a shotgun, the marshal's office also reported.
And that would have been out of the marked unit, y'all, the jail unit. They keep them in the trunk.
So it was at this point, and still not discovered by police, that Casey and Vicky ditched the Ford Edge, and they pay $6,000 cash for a Ford F-150. It is also at this time that they purchase a Cadillac, and they continue their escape with one following the other into Indiana.
Interesting.
Yeah. So look, this was actually well planned.
Right.
So just to set the scene for y'all, there's panic now. This guy is as bad as they get. He's on the loose. Now you've got a former employee on the lease with him, because I'm sure she got fired quick.
Right.
And Casey and Vicky White drive that car into a car wash in Evansville, Indiana.
Man, that's a long ways from Alabama.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. And their last location before that was known was Tennessee, a place called Williamson County, which was 175 miles north of south of Evansville.
And then to Indiana is a long ways from there.
Yeah, so period.
He's smart. They're putting in miles, the more miles in, the less news coverage and all that.
There you go. So they pull into that car wash. They leave the F-150 sitting in the car wash stall, and they get into the Cadillac.
Right.
And they drove away from the car wash. Now, at this point, law enforcement still assume they're in that orange Ford Edge.
Right. Well, what they did not know was that the tow truck driver had towed the Ford Edge 2 days earlier after it was left in the middle of a roadway. When he saw a news report on May 5th looking for that vehicle, he recognized it and he called the cops and told them what tow yard was in, and he brought them to it. The U.S. Marshals found the Ford Edge in the tow lot and confirmed it was the one used by Vicky and Casey White. On May 8th, a few days later, another big break in the manhunt took place when investigators were notified about the Ford F-150 abandoned at the car wash and its possible connection to the fugitives after the curious car wash attendant viewed surveillance video to try and find out who left the truck in his car wash and then recognized fugitives.
Naturally.
And they're pretty easy to recognize. Remember, it's Anaconda and Shorty. All right. And so on May 9th, U.S. Marshals released images dated May the 3rd from the Evansville car wash surveillance camera of a man believed to be Casey White in the Ford F-150. Y'all, they're also established in what direction they're headed, basically, right? And that they're swapping vehicles. And the car wash surveillance video showed the suspects leaving the F-150 and getting into that Cadillac.
So now they know what they're driving, at least at that point.
Right. So at this point, the Evansville police, where the two were last seen, had the Cadillac burned into their brain, and they were looking everywhere for it. And an Evansville police officer spotted the Cadillac vehicle at a Motel 41 and alerted other investigators. They began the surveillance of the motel and observed Vicky and Casey White exiting the motel and getting into the Cadillac. So police began to pursue the Cadillac, and the fugitives fled north on U.S. Highway 41 in Evansville in the Cadillac. In the pursuit, Casey White and Vicky White drove onto a grassy field and parking lot near an industrial area of the city. A law enforcement officer rammed a vehicle into the car, flipping it onto its side in a ditch.
Mm.
It's like movie shit. You can't even make this up, right?
Yeah, and this is the Evansville, Indiana police.
Right. That's called a pit maneuver, and maybe they didn't do it correctly. They flipped a Cadillac, dude. And so officers reached the duo in the car, and they took Casey White into custody and found Vicky White with a gunshot wound to the head and what investigators believe at the time to be a self-inflicted or suicide, y'all. She died in a hospital that night from her injuries. The Indiana coroner's office ruled the death as a suicide. During the arrest, Casey White referred to Vicky White as his wife and said he did not shoot her. They were not believed to have been married. Talking about Vicky.
Yeah, right? He just called them. Yeah, they weren't legally.
Well, hell, he might have got, like me, I'm an ordained minister through the thing or whatever, and he might have married them in a hotel room. It's funny, it was not the Motel 6, it was the Motel
41.
Motel 41, that's...
Only the best for that guy.
Right? So, investigators found four handguns, a semi-automatic rifle, three magazines, that's not GQ magazines, that's people commonly refer to them as clips, magazines with bullets. They found wigs and about $29,000 cash in the vehicle. Casey White spoke for a lengthy period with investigators and said that they had planned to have a shootout with the police. The fugitives had been staying at the Motel 41 in an attempt to lay low for a while and had paid for a 14-day stay after paying a homeless man $100 plus the room cost to book the room for them. So they had somebody else book it for them.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something.
A homeless man at that.
Tell you this. Anytime I had a bolo for somebody that might be in my area, guess where I'm going to check first? The Motel 41 or whatever my local one is in right. Albany. It was the Albany, whatever. I mean, it's you're going to cruise those places first. What they didn't know was cops had the Cadillac.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't have the Cadillac, they'd have got away with it. They didn't have the Cadillac on video like you're talking about. We're all on video so many times.
That's right. That was a big key. So there were a lot of questions to be answered, especially in regards to Vicky's death. So we're going to play the 911 call for you. Now, one thing we didn't tell you in what we just told you was that right before the Cadillac got rammed, Vicky placed a 911 call. However, the operator picks up. And she doesn't respond to the operator. Now, they pick up, they say, 911, what is your emergency?
Right.
Normally, someone would say, I'm in a chase with the cops or something. We don't want them shooting at us. She doesn't respond to that. It sounds like someone that would have dialed the phone in their lap and just left it sitting there so the operator could hear what was going on.
Yeah.
This is my impression, but I'm gonna kind of let you gather your own impression. So right now, we're going to play that audio for you. This is Vicky White calling 911.
Amazon Island. 911.
Please stop. They're going to the airbags and go off and kill us.
Hey. Hello?
John. Airbags are going off. Let's get out. Run. Get us back to the hotel. Let's kill us.
Hello?
So you hear things in that audio like, wait, right. Stop.
Right.
Airbags are going to go off and kill us.
Right.
Soon you hear a loud noise. Now, the first of it, at least four loud noises to happen in about 15 seconds, and it's unclear in each instance what the noise represent, and it's kind of unclear from the audio when the car was rammed, when it rolled over, and when the gun was fired. You do hear a woman, which is Vicky, saying, God, airbags are going to go off. Let's get out and run, and she even mentions a hotel.
Right.
The second noise you hear kind of shriek, and at least two more noises followed by another shriek. You can hear sirens in the background, but this is the question I want y'all to ask yourselves. And that I certainly asked was, if you're about to kill yourself, you're not worried about airbags going off. Exactly. You're certainly not worried about getting out and running. So I kind of call bullshit on that.
And you wouldn't have dialed 911.
And you wouldn't have done. Yeah, I call bullshit.
I personally think what you're thinking is at some point in her pursuit, she realized, holy shit, he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I want 911 to at least be able to listen to it.
Yeah.
And basically what you just played is Vicky from voice from the grave saying, oh, I mean, she, naturally she knew she was culpable and all this.
Yeah.
And then at some point she realizes, holy shit, he's going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy, I mean, you may be 100% correct. But while Casey has not been charged with pulling the trigger against Vicky, he is being charged with felony murder in connection to the death of Vicky White, and he's been indicted. The indictment says Casey White is responsible for White's death because it happened during Casey White's escape. Well, I get that, and that's a whole lot easier to prove than the fact that he killed her in a car, but I'm saying he killed her in a car. So y'all want to read you a news release from the Lauderdale County, Alabama's district attorney. So this news release is titled, Casey Cole White indicted for the felony murder and the death of Vicky White, July 12, 2022. On July 6, 2022, a capious warrant was issued for the arrest of Casey Cole White for the offense of felony murder regarding the death of Vicky White. The warrant was issued based on a grand jury indictment. White, who is in the custody of the Alabama Department of Corrections, serving a 75-year sentence due to the convictions from Limestone County, was served with a warrant yesterday at Donelson Prison. He is also charged with capital murder for the 2015 murder of Connie Ridgway. The felony murder indictment alleges that during the course of and in furtherance of committing escape in the first degree, White caused the death of Vicky White, who died from a gunshot to the head. As are all criminal defendants, White is presumed innocent of the charge. No further information will be released by this office at this time. Chris Conley, Lauderdale County District Attorney.
And that's pretty interesting, because even though they're still saying that she killed herself, they're saying because of his involvement with her, that was almost the cause of it.
It's the same thing. It's like if you and I go to rob a bank and you're driving a car and I kill somebody inside the bank, you're getting the murder charge also.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, because of, the pursuit and whatever, she wouldn't have been in that situation.
Right.
Right.
So yeah. Very interesting. And one thing I will throw in here is a little caveat and a fun fact for y'all. The Motel 41 that you brought up, get this. This is 6 months after that murder. It was completely booked up, the same room that they stayed in for all that time. Yeah, it's people love it. Yeah, I want Casey White's room.
Right.
And they could actually say that they slept in Casey White's room at the Motel 41.
That's crazy. That's like
the Motel 41 was loving it.
They're probably still loving it.
They're
going to love it after this episode.
Yeah. So go check out the Motel 41.
I think that's like
maybe they'll sponsor Bloody Angola.
They can give us a free room when we come. Yeah, to the Casey White room. We'll do a TikTok.
The Casey White honeymoon suite.
The very unique story.
It really is
every day. And think about all the ones, especially Angola, where these people, 6,000 of them, certainly a certain percentage have to be masterminds and master manipulators. I've dealt with a lot of them, like David Constance. I mean, he's not as dumb as he looks. He looks like a little troll, but the dude's a genius, not formally educated, but he's a genius on playing people.
Yeah. Right?
It happens. Correctional officers are begging inmates. Correctional officers are the largest reason that inmates get contraband, whether it's cell phones or dope or whatever. And you can get more dope in prison than you can on the street.
Yeah.
And it's probably cleaner, less fentanyl. Yeah. But the sex part, everybody is here because two people screwed, right?
Yeah.
Everybody on this earth. And they just happen to find the vulnerable ones. And
that's right. And
do what they do.
You may wonder what's next for Casey White. I mean, he lived, he's back in jail. Well, in August of this year, 2023, he'll finally go on trial for the 2015 rampage that we told y'all about.
Yeah, he's a good death penalty.
In that particular instance, he's charged with killing two people. And as Woody discussed earlier in this podcast, he will most assuredly spend the rest of his life, if not get the death penalty for
some
that.
People just don't. I mean, like a rabid dog need to be put down, because if he gets out, he's up. He's proven. If he ever gets out, he's going to kill and maim and do whatever. This dude's definitely living for the moment. They weren't planning on, you know, they found $26,000 out of the 95 something she sold her home for. He's living for the moment. He planned on shooting out with cops anyway. He's like,
he told them that in interviews after.
I was going to shoot it out with y'all. I'm going to kill as many of y'all as I can, but basically he wanted to get killed too.
That's right.
And he would want to be that badass motherfucker, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, what he's even said many times that had the vehicle not been flipped, he would have had that shootout.
Yeah.
Well, he just couldn't get out. He was pinned in.
To do it. So that 6'9", 330-pound anaconda worked against him. And that
monster, that, man.
A big dude. I don't know if I've ever met anybody. Well, Shaq. I think he's a little bit taller than that. But that's a monster of a dude. Happens every day. Think about this, though, y'all. For every extreme case like this where they help him escape and all that, think about all the correction officers that are getting laid every day by convicts that never get found out.
Never get found out. And you mentioned Shaq. We're going to deviate just a second, because I got a good Shaq story for y'all that I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all may like. For those of you that may not realize, we record out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana area. And, of course, Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, played for LSU. And back when he was in his college ball days, he was very well known around here. And much like Casey White, and it's worth pointing out, those sized people stand out no matter where they're at. Right. So the first thing that I wondered with Casey White was he never would have been able to ever go in public anywhere for the rest of his life anyway, because he stands out like a sore thumb. Just look for the guy that's 6'9" tall.
And with
tattoos.
With
I mean, it would have been obvious. So in that situation, but back to my Shaq story, I was in the mall, and at the time I was dating a girl, and she was like 5 feet tall, literally. I was probably 17 at the time. He might have been a sophomore at LSU. And we're walking through a mall in Baton Rouge, and there he is. He's like looking at watches, like in the breezeway there. And I was coming out of Dillard's with my girlfriend. And so I grabbed a Dillard. I asked the lady for a paper bag and a pen.
Right.
So she gives it to me. I told my girlfriend, I said, go get Shaq's autograph. Awesome. So she walks up to him and gets it. But y'all, Shaq is like 7'2".
Right.
Standing next to my girlfriend signing this thing. And this is before cell phone cameras, sadly. But I saw it in person. It was like a 2-year-old standing next to a full-grown adult.
Right. Yep.
That was the size difference between those two.
And I got a couple I'll throw on you real quick. The same time, I was at Shaq and Chris Shaq's and all of them. I was at LSU. So Reggie's, which we talked about on the last episode of Real Life, Real Crime Daily, is where Madison Brooks got overserved. That used to be called the Tiger.
Yep.
All right. And I lived in the first apartment right behind the Tiger, and I'd go to the Tiger every night. And Shaq, I went up to – he was in the bar, and I went up and stood beside him. It was like a mountain of a man
compared to me. And Woody's tall.
Yep. I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
But fast forward. I don't think anybody knows this. Shaquille O'Neal was a commissioned officer with the Killian Police Department.
Now, I
can tell you why. Not only did I have a house down there, but he is a big diver, scuba diver. And he bought all the scuba diving equipment and the boat and everything for Killian Police Department. They're on the water down there on the Tickfall. And he was instrumental in funding the dive rescue team and recovery team.
Really?
For Killian Police Department. Yep. And he's dead with them. Super, super cool guy. Down to earth, he's getting up there in age like me, but it is what it is. One of the best. Now, how we got on that from Buddy Angola, I don't know.
Well, we're talking about height how these people stand out, and that was just a few little for me and Woody, but just an enormous.
You're right. They absolutely would stand out like that. But this dude took it. I'm talking about Casey White. Took it to the whole next level.
Yeah.
On getting tatted up with racist tats.
Right.
And, I mean, Who's going to come up to him and say shit? When you come up, you're going to be, you know, I mean, Shaq might have said something to him, but anyway.
He is Woody, the prime example that you can point to as someone who never, ever needs to be out of prison.
Yep.
Ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just right. A horrible
they
human.
They build made. Prisons for that dude.
They build prisons for him.
Patreon members, thank you so much.
Couldn't do it without him.
I couldn't do it without you. Y'all, if you want to go, if you want to be a Patreon member, there's a ton of episodes locked up. And get commercial free early releases.
And let me say this, Woody, I had a few people reach out and I just want to explain this. They were asking, you know, with the regular episodes, we weren't dropping them every week. And I just want to explain, and we appreciate all of, look, I love it when people say, where's the next episode? I love that. I want everyone to understand when you're a patron member, you don't miss any weeks. Right. We're going to give you something, whether it's just Woody, whether it's just me, whether it's both of us, you're going to get extra and you're going to get bonus stuff. Sadly, this stuff is not free and it is expensive for us to produce this podcast. It requires a lot of time, a lot of research. And so, you know, with the regular feed that is just absolutely free, we unfortunately have to limit what we can put out there. And, you know, if we were to a point where Nike was sponsors or something, man, look, we're all over it. But if you're a patron member, it's $10 a month for the starting tier, and you get episodes every week.
Well, just like even the higher tiers of the I came in yesterday to record. You had a stack of packages that were going out.
The Warden team members.
Yeah. I'll be looking for those.
Y'all got some good little swag this time.
So we give you a lot of benefits in that. And that's just a way to help us keep going. And we'll give back, whether it's in the form of the commercial free episodes or the episodes that nobody else is getting, the ones that are locked up. And look, there's some of those I consider to be my favorite.
Yeah.
The ones that are locked up and haven't been released to the public.
That's right. So. We've got probably about 10 of those now if you're not a patron member yet, look, you can go to the patron right now. It's $10 a month for that opening tier.
Right.
And you got 10 episodes in there you ain't never heard.
And you get commercial free early releases. And basically you get episodes if we have weeks that
don't forget about the other things we do. Woody, Real Life, Real Crime Daily,
Real Life, Real Crime Daily. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here first.
Yes.
Because I won't be today. It's Thursday. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here first. Real Life, Real Crime Daily has been such a success. We're about to take it from 3 days a week to four.
Boom.
That's a next
big
week.
Deal, y'all. That means you're going to get either a Real Life Real Crime original or a daily every day of the week.
5 days a week. And Bloody Angola.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's right. It's a lot of recording. It's a lot of time. But you know what? The numbers don't lie. And y'all are the best fans in the world. And we appreciate you.
That's right. We love doing it.
We're blessed.
Yeah. Don't forget about the app. Bloody Angola, you can get episodes straight through the app.
That's the Real Life Real Crime community app.
Community app. So you can download that on Apple Podcasts. You can also do it on Google's for Android. Google Play Store.
Yeah, you can go to the App Store and download it.
Yeah, so that makes it easy, y'all, and helps us get it there.
Respond to everybody in one place. We just have so much other social media, it's almost impossible now.
That's right.
But it's a good problem to have, Jim Chapman.
Y'all are a great
problem to have. We love you.
We love you very much. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this pen.
penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.